remind people the culture of this state. The Carolina Panthers started in 1995, but the nation had embraced the NFL so far before that that the Panthers were off to a running start when they landed in Charlotte because of that culture of pro football that really reigns almost from coast to coast in the good old USA. Think about the NBA, right? The Charlotte Bobcats started in 2004, but before that you had the Hornets, who started all the way back in 1988, and before that the Reeven professional basketball teams, Carolina Cougars and otherwise, going to the 1970s. And there was that buzz around pro hoops in North Carolina, or around the explosion of the NBA, you know, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and all that stuff, that enabled the Hornets, or now the Bobcats, to kind of hit the ground running. Doesn't work that way in hockey. Does not work that way. And a lot of folks even doubted whether the layout would work against the Carolina Hurricanes as they tried to host this spectacle event. RBC Center, obviously a significant distance from the downtown. That's not ideal. The history and culture of hockey go way deep in Canada and some American cities, but not here. But yet, even in the eyes of some of the most curmudgeonly hockey writers, old school, they don't like non-traditional markets, and they will criticize it every chance they get. Even in those eyes, this weekend was a tremendous success. Joining us to talk about it, John Forslund. John, was there any downside to what seemed to be a wonderful weekend in hockey for everyone involved?
Not that I can see, David. I mean, from the very beginning of the weekend all the way through to the bitter end last night, I can't think of one. It was flawless, in my opinion, and I know a lot of my colleagues that I ran into after the game last night, and we're just soaking in the atmosphere for the final time, and we're just all saying the same thing. And, I mean, a lot of these people have been coming to All-Star Games year after year, and an All-Star Game weekend is a lot more than just the game itself. Yeah. There's so many things that go on around the game, and it really hits the culture of whatever area it's in. And everybody was so happy to be here and was treated so well. They left with a great feeling.
Well, it seems bizarre to even talk along these lines, but NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, when he first mentioned Raleigh hosting an All-Star game, it was truly almost a decade ago, right? And then There was delay, delay, delay. In the end, do you think that the delays that drew some criticism actually turned out to be a good thing for various reasons?
Well, I think when we look back, and you know, what you were talking about before you brought me on here is really so important to realize when you look at those other sports and the footprint that had already been established. And then when the Hurricanes arrived in North Carolina in 1997, the general reaction was who, what, and why. And because of that, you know, I'll never forget the second game that was ever played in Greensboro. The first game was a sellout and Pittsburgh was the opponent. And there was a lot of, a lot of people there to see the Penguins at that time. Second game was really sparsely attended, and Sports Illustrated wrote a story on it. They've sent their cameras down. They sent a writer in specifically for the second game, not the first game. They did it intentionally, and the headline was natural disaster.
Oh.
And you know, we started from a standstill here, and it's been able to build, and truly on-ice success has been a big part of this. I mean, without on-ice success, without deep runs in the playoffs, without Stanley Cup in 06, I'm not sure where we get to this place where we're at right now. But also the region had to grow. And in 01, when they promised the game, there was a ticket drive, as you recall, and there was a lot of things going on here to get the season ticket base up. And the promise was made that it would eventually come. But he always said, he being the commissioner, that Raleigh needed a new convention center. Raleigh needed better hotels. Raleigh needed a lot of things. And this area has done a wonderful job doing that. And I can't say enough for the organizing committee in the city, the job they did, because that goes hand in hand with the National Hockey League putting on this event. Without the city involvement, the team involvement, their connection with the city, reaching out to the fans, the weekend is not even close to being the success that it was.
John Forslund from Versus, and of course your TV play-by-play man for Carolina Hurricanes, joining us here on the David Glenn Show. John, how do you explain the lore of the Hurricanes at this stage, you know, 13th season now in North Carolina, as it extends across the state? Because we see in other sports, the Panthers of the NFL are sort of a different animal because of the size and power of that pro sports league. But say the Bobcats of the NBA certainly resonate more in the western part of the state. How do you describe the lore of the Hurricanes? Obviously, the epicenter is Raleigh and the Triangle, but how does it work elsewhere in your eyes?
Well, you know, I think in the NFL, it's easy to make that pilgrimage, you know, once a week, eight times a year, if you're a season ticket holder, and live 2.5 hours away, whatever it is, in order to get to Charlotte to see the Panthers play. I think that's doable for a lot of people, and that's the lure, I think, of the National Football League. It's an outing. It's an all-day experience. You know, when you run into an NBA franchise or an NHL franchise, an 82-game schedule, 41 home dates, that's a little bit of a different story. But I think it's still a challenge for the Hurricanes to reach out in areas like Charlotte and around the state, you know, down east a little bit. And I know we have a lot of interest, in, at least from the research that the team has compiled, from the Wilmington area. Certainly there's a footprint in Charlotte. Our minor league team is there now. That's very important. And also the fact that youth hockey is strong in the Charlotte area. And of course, Greensboro. We can't leave Greensboro out of the equation because that's where it all started for this franchise. And we still have people who commute in on a regular basis. I think it's growing there. I think there's more to be done. And I think it will swell as time marches on here. But there's no question that here in the local area, the interest is very strong. And our fan base is going to continue to grow for years to come.
John Forslund joining us on the David Glenn Show. Did you have a favorite reaction among the guys, you know, Eric Staal, Cam Ward, Jeff Skinner, Jamie McBain on Saturday? I know Eric Staal said one of the reasons he was most excited was because he saw how other home players in All-Star games past were received and the reception they got. Heck, Peter Laviolette got a warm reception. Was there a favorite moment or two for yourself or from what you heard from those guys?
Well, I was privy to be on the ice for the skills competition and host it, so I was right down there with the players, and I got to see how excited they were to be at the event and how intrigued they were by the crowd response as the event went along, and then how competitive they became as that event grew. You know, they were genuinely excited to be there. And I heard a lot of the things that were being said, and a lot of it was they were just astonished at the reaction of the crowd. When the crowd got up in unison, whenever Eric Staal or Cam Ward, McBain or Jeff Skinner were involved in an event, it was awesome to see, and I think the players were taken back by that. And so it was very special. I can only you know, compare it to a few that I've been to, and by and large, in previous years, the skills competitions are basically an exhibition, and the fans go in large number, but they sit there, it's generic applause. If something great happens, there's a reaction, but not to that degree. The passion in that building Saturday night was second to none, and it continued again yesterday, and for an All-Star game, it was very exciting.
You mentioned the winning, the 2006 Stanley Cup Championship, the 2002 final, that run to the conference final just a couple years ago. What about this team and the rest of the way? Because, John, they seem to be in that middle area where, you know, they're not going to finish first or second or third, but they're good enough to make the playoffs. They're certainly not in, you know, bargain, let's start selling mode. How do you forecast what this team is capable of the rest of the way and the difficulty of that path?
Well, you know, when I look at it, I think they've done an excellent job to be where they're at right now. The one thing the Hurricanes have been very lucky with so far, and let's hope it continues, is injuries. You know, some of these other teams they're competing with, the Atlanta Thrashers, Montreal Canadiens, you know, they've had some challenges injury-wise. They have to get healthier in order to really get back to the level they were playing at, say, a month ago. For the Hurricanes, it's been consistent that way. They have a very young team, as we know, second or third youngest in the league. They've managed to stay in the hunt within striking distance, only a point out of a playoff spot with games in hand. I think they're positioned well. I think they really control what they can do, and I think it'll be interesting to see at the end of the month, at the end of February, the trading deadline will come around to see what Jim Rutherford does. Because, David, I think they can make some moves and maybe move a player, a veteran player that may be an unrestricted free agent next season, acquire something in return, and still make the playoffs. You know, they're not going to be selling off players unless they really go into a tailspin, and I don't suspect that's going to happen. So I like their chances. I really do. And the Jeff Skinner has been a breath of fresh air. I mean, the Hurricanes are blessed to have two great young cornerstone star players with Eric Staal and Cam Ward. And now to see Skinner come to this point where he's at right now, youngest player in the league, youngest player to ever play in an All-Star game, and the charisma that's attached to that and the popularity he's receiving. And I'm very comfortable with it because I've been around him enough to know that he's a grounded person and he's going to be able to handle this. So the Hurricanes have something very special in Jeff Skinner.
Well, let me squeeze in one more because, you know, I love to pick your brain. If you have to go, be as brief as you need to be. But you just laid out the immediate future and a little bit of a longer-term future for this organization on the ice. Tell me, off the ice, it seems like Peter Carmano's finding that local investor that he has spoken publicly about wanting to find is, you know, a key component in whatever's going to happen with this franchise moving forward. Do you think it's overdramatic to suggest that what just happened for the last 3 days could be the, you know, the inspiration for that right local investor or group of investors to fall into place?
You know, that's really the hidden story in the weekend. You know, something that really wasn't talked about, probably shouldn't have been talked about, but you had to think that some of the people who are interested in getting involved in this investment had to be here this weekend,
yeah.
Had to take it all in. And if they did, how can they not want to do it? You know, and Mr. Carmanis over the years has done an unbelievable job and has been able to really see a lot of his wealth go away because of his love of hockey, and this comes going all the way back to his days of investing in youth hockey back in Detroit and fostering the growth of the sport in the United States. Now that he owns a professional team, you know, he's looking to see if, you know, again, he can recapitalize on his investment, get these people and hopefully local people involved. But if they were around this weekend and saw this, I think this was the litmus test. This proves how vibrant it is. I think the non-traditional tag that's been attached to this franchise can kind of go away. This team now is being regarded as a traditional franchise. When you look at the on-ice success that has happened here in a short period of time and also off the ice and the vibrancy of the fan base, how can you not look at it as a serious thing if you have the wealth to invest in? So I think it's going to help a great deal. And again, so many people are walking away from Raleigh this weekend, you know, in the hockey world, and they're all saying the same thing, that's a great place for the National Hockey League, and that's going to be there for a long time.
Fantastic stuff. His name is John Forslund. We love the work you do always, but it was fun to see you having so much fun amidst what was a fantastic story that I enjoyed with my family this weekend. I know you enjoyed from your role on the ice and otherwise. Thanks, man.
You're welcome, buddy. Thank you, David.
You got it. John Forslund. All right, we have his new Twitter account, correct, Jared Brooks? You actually just spell his name now? Is that what it is? All right, John Forslund. He's a fun guy. Follow him via Twitter, John Forslund, JohnForslund. That's different than what he used to have,
right? Well, we convinced him to make it easy for us. Just say your name.
Follow John Forslund via Twitter, @ John Forslund.
See, it's like follow.
I butchered that so many times on the air, it was starting to get a little bit scary.
It's like follow this show @ David Glenn Show.
We try to keep things simple.
We try to keep it simple.
I still get emails players, with only one N in Glenn, though.
Hockey players tell us all the time, you know, we just need to keep it simple. We didn't keep it simple tonight. That's why we lost.
We try to follow the KISS format on this program. Keep it simple, stupid. There's a lesson in there for all of us somewhere.